meeting starts at 8:30, 9:30. No less, no more. And I want to indulge members to say, kindly, let's be kind to the Parliament of the Republic and be on time. Buffalo, I saw funi kuti abantu must be late. The new sheriff in the house take very serious the issues of us coming late. Having said that, let me welcome once more the entire delegate of the RAF and indicate that we are doing the APPs. I was just talking to the DDG that yesterday we had a situation where we had to send back the corporate plan of one of the entities. So if you do it okay, we will definitely okay your corporate plan and your APPs. But if it doesn't go well, you may be one of those unfortunate ones who get sent back, and I hope I'm not going to do that acting CEO, because when I was saying that, I didn't realize that the acting CEO is listening to me, and she was cringing to say, yo, but it says performance, when it comes to performance bonus, you get zero if I do that. Dr. Bengu, I'm going to give it to you to introduce your team and also introduce the person that will make a presentation. Once the presentation has been made, the members will engage with your presentation, and then you will give responses through the team that is here. You should be able to give responses. That is how we're going to work on the issues. Without procrastinating, let me take it to you, Dr. Bengu.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the committee chair, honorable members, colleagues, executives of the REF, and ladies and gentlemen and members of the media. On behalf of the board and executive, I just want to thank the chair for the opportunity to once more present our APP. And without wasting time, I'll just quickly introduce who we have. To my right is the vice chairman of the board, Mr. Kuvadia. Next to him is Mr. Ahmed Pando, who is also chair of audit. Next to him is Dr. Terence Kumar. Next to him is the DDG, Mr. Hlabisa, who has nicely squeezed himself in there as part of the team. Next to him is Dr. Piens, who chairs the Risk Management Committee. Next to her is the chair of REMCO, Ms. Ratemane, and Dr. Linda, the only local citizen who's a member of the board. And the two main presenters are members of the executives, led by Linda Chabavu, the acting CEO, Lindelo Chabavu. And next to her is Mr. Rodney Gounden, the chief financial officer. We won't take any more time and just allow them to go through the presentation immediately.
Thank you, Dr. Bengu. Honorable members, we really have to heartily appreciate before we even start. The board of RAF is here, almost all of them. We really have to appreciate, and this cannot go unnoticed by the members of this portfolio committee. Honorable Nsinga. Oh, you should have just clapped your hands. Thank you very much. Proceed, Dr. Ben. Thank you, Chair, committee members, board members, and my colleagues and stakeholders in the room. We do have a very detailed presentation, but based on your opening remarks, ma'am, I think we should spend a lot of time on the 2018-19 slides, the APP slides. So I'll run through the introductory slides and then spend a bit of time then on the APP slides. The first slide is on the background. Our mandate emanates from the Road Accident Fund Act of 1996 and the RAF Amendment Act of 2005. And our mandate is to pay compensation in accordance with our Act for loss or damage wrongfully caused by the driving of a motor vehicle. We provide compulsory cover to all users of South African roads. We are a national public entity, Schedule 3, PFMA, national public entity. Our mandate is also shaped by constitutional court rulings and legal precedents that happen all the time in our courts. The fund is called upon to provide a social security safety net, indemnify, rehabilitate, and compensate the injured, and to promote the safe use of South African roads. I'm not going to read through that slide, the previous slide, Rodney. It's just our mission, our vision, and our values, and I'm sure people are familiar with those. In terms of our funding model, or rather our business model, we are funded through the fuel levy. We got, thank you to the Minister of Finance, we got an additional 30%, which takes us to 42 billion per annum in terms of our income. 96% of that income goes towards the payment of claims, and only about 4% or so goes towards administrative costs. Our heads of damages, which means what we pay for as a fund, we pay for general damages, we pay for past medical expenses, future medical expenses that are related to the accident, past loss of earnings, future loss of earnings, past loss of support, future loss of support. We also pay for funeral costs. Our business, this is just a core business, we also do, it's just not on the slide, we do have the support side of the business, but just go back. In terms of our business, we've got five pillars. There's a sixth one actually, because now we have a standalone direct claims pillar. But there's an origination pillar where all our claims are originated. We've got a determination leg, litigation, finalization, and a post-finalization pillar. The post-finalization pillar is becoming more and more important because that's the pillar that ensures that people are rehabilitated and they are able to go back to normal life. That slide it talks just to the highlights of our performance in 2017-18. Our results for 2017-18 are about 91%, but they are still being audited by internal audit. You will get the final report after the AG, our external auditors, have pronounced on that report. Our structure, we've got six executives. All those positions are filled. The only position that is still vacant is the chief executive officer position, and the board is working on filling that position. Let's move on. In terms of our footprint, our head office is in Centurion. We've got five regional centers. We also in Pretoria, Johannesburg, Durban, East London, and Cape Town. We also have five customer service centers. We've got one in Bloemfontein, Limpopo, Northwest, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga. We also have three RAF mobile buses that go around to the most remote areas of South Africa to enable our people to be able to lodge claims, or rather to even make inquiries on their claims. We've got a footprint in 100 Department of Health hospitals. We still continue, Chair, with the, our award-winning program, The Rough on the Road. There's one coming in PE on the 27th of April. In terms of our performance history in the past 6 years, for the past 2 years, 2015, 2016, and 16-17, we performed at 90%. We continue to improve. We are hoping this year that the Auditor General is going to confirm the 91% performance that we have reported. That's just a detail of our performance for this year, 91%. Only 3 targets were not met. Challenges. Our financial sustainability is an issue. What we get in might look like a lot, the 42 billion, but in our productivity has increased so much that what we get in is not sufficient for us to pay out the claims that we have processed. I haven't checked this morning, but at any given time, we are sitting at about 8 billion claims that have been processed but cannot be paid because we don't have sufficient funds. There's one, okay, go on. Okay, the current model, which is fault-based, is also a challenge. Leakage of information is one big challenge that we are dealing with. It has been reported to the minister, and he has promised to handle it, but it continues, I think even last week, or as we speak now, there are media queries, very recent media queries that emanate from the last board committee meetings that we had on Monday, actually. So this problem continues, but the minister is aware of it and he is handling it. In terms of the objectives, we've got 7 objectives that are based on our mandate as the RAF. We've got 19 KPIs. We also have 31 targets. Last year, if you remember, we had 33 targets, but this year we have 31 targets. All these objectives, KPIs and targets are based on our mandate and our business. The first one, and I think I must spend more time on this slide, the first one is around efficient claims processing, and we call the first target the primary target because it's about reducing the backlog that we have, and it has reduced drastically. So it's about managing the number of outstanding claims that we have and also increasing the efficiency of claims processing, improving direct claims management, improving litigation, and improving crash care management. The second one is about accessibility of our services to South Africans. This is managed by our Chief Marketing Officer. The first one is managed by the COO. So in terms of accessibility of our services, the Chief Marketing Officer works very closely with the operations team, and the idea is to promote RAF services through outreach programs, including the RAF on the road that I spoke about, improving the responsiveness of our call center. The third one is around effective financial management. That portfolio is managed by the CFO, and it's about effective cash flow management, assessment of the claims liability, improvement of our procurement processes, and improving our BBBEE rating. The next one, which is important and critical, is ICT, and the target is to ensure optimal ICT service availability. Then the next one is about our people. That portfolio is managed by the head of human capital and by the CSO, the chief strategy officer. The idea there is to optimize organizational performance, to maintain RAF's contribution towards government's social and economic transformation agenda, and to contribute to government's employment and youth driver development. The next one is RAF transformation, and the idea is to transform RAF. You will remember, Chairperson, that last year or so, when we were here, we were requested not to have anything in our APP that refers to RAPs. But then we then went back and realized that our systems are old. We still need to transform the organization, whether RAPs is going to come or not. So transformation of the RAF is about that. And we also have a five-year, an ICT five-year plan that we are busy with. The last one is around assurance, and is to raise ethical standards and to increase the percentage of fraud detected before undue payments are made, and to improve combined assurance maturity. Those are our strategic objectives for 2018-2019. I will now hand over to the CFO to take us through the financials.
Thank you, CEO. Honourable members, in terms of our financial status, so we have operated on a 1.63 per litre for the 2017-18 financial year. The budget that we have sent to Parliament previously was based on the 1.63. That was before the 21st of February announcement on the 30 cents increase by the Minister of Finance. That now for the new financial year will take us to 1.93 per litre. That would amount to about 42 billion rand we project in the forthcoming financial year. The current shortfalls on our claim payments is about 8.5 billion rand. This is basically claims that have been processed and finalized, and it is only due to the lack of cash that we cannot pay that. This is the bane of our existence when it comes to attachments by attorneys who cannot wait for their monies to be paid, so they attach our assets. They take our furniture, they take our chairs, they take our computers, which obviously puts us in a catch-22 situation, because when they do that, they disrupt business. We are unable to proceed and continue with claims processing. Our staff use use bins, they use plastic chairs to sit on, and then that creates issues when it comes to unions because of the environment that we are creating for our staff to work. So all that has a knock-on effect. And then we have to resort to leasing of furniture, which is much more expensive. And so all this impacts on us in terms of the staff morale, in terms of financial viability, etc. In terms of the financials, you will see on the 2018 financial year, our net fuel levies for this financial year was about 35 billion. As the CEO mentioned, 96% or so of those went to actual claim payments. We have paid 310,000 claims for the 2017-18 financial year. On our claims expenditure, you will see at the middle of the slide on 2018, it's about 68 billion. And our deficit for the year at the bottom of that slide on 2018, you'll see is about 35 billion for this financial year. On our balance sheet, you will see on the top, we have our current assets. And that's about 9.3 billion. The reason for that 9.3 billion is the accrual for the fuel levy, which is received 2 months after the fact. So we accrue for it. So that's why we have a 9 billion asset base. It's not actual money. In terms of our total assets, it's about 9.5 billion. For our liabilities, you will see our claims liabilities are 48 billion for this financial year, for the 2018-19. And then just below that, you will look at our non-current liabilities, which is which shows our claims liability, which is 175 billion. And a few rows below that, you will see our total liability or deficit for this financial year is 215 billion rand. This is not sustainable. It has been growing significantly over the number of past financial years. And we project it to grow in the next 4 or 5 years to about 700 billion rand. if the current dispensation is not changed and we continue with RAF. In terms of our cash flow, you will see on the gross fuel levy revenue, it's about 38 billion, as I mentioned. The number of fuel liters sold is about 23 million, on which we get our income. And in terms of our actual payments for settlement is about 34 billion for this financial year. Thanks. That's it from the financial side.
Okay. In conclusion, Chairperson, in conclusion, despite all the challenges that we have, despite the deficit that is sitting at more than 200 billion, we continue to provide services to our claimant. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting CEO, Dr. Bengu.
No, thanks, Chair. I just quickly wanted to recognize my eyes didn't reach far enough. We have Ms. Mantiti Kula, who's the Chief Strategy Officer of the Fund. I missed her when I was introducing.
Okay. Thank you very much. We also have the advisor to the Minister, who is with us here. You're welcome, ma'am. We, honourable members, the presentation has been made. Can we engage with the activities and the presentation as is moving forward? I can see no hand. Silence is golden. It's a good thing. Let me start with Honourable Khadere and go that way, that route. Honourable Khadere, Honourable Mpanza, Honourable Sibande, Honourable Keko, Honourable Umsinga, and Honourable De Freitas in that line. Honourables, if you can put, apparently it's not very audible, if you can put the mic closer to your mouth so that you can be audible.
Thanks, Chair. My question. Thanks for the presentation. My question. We really appreciate the board to attend the portfolio committee, and for the first time that we seeing the board that is also full of men, Chair. The board full of men. We appreciate that. There's three women. Okay. Okay.
Work in progress.
Work in progress, okay. Oh, no. Yeah, you know, my eyes, no, it stops there, so
we are reliably informed that there's five women in the board of RAF, and therefore we need to really congratulate the minister for having done that.
Indeed, Chair. No, Chair, let me just start by the arrangement of the presentation, but I just want to check that out of all the KPIs that we are supposed to reach, the three of them, that we couldn't be able to reach. If we can be able to also to maybe enlighten us, what was the challenge, but how are you planning to also plan to address these particular challenges? Because the intention probably is to also make sure that all the KPIs are being addressed fully. The other thing, you spoke about the issue of the leaks that happening within the I think you said the board, if not mistaken. I'm trying to check what's the problem, why there's a leak. Where are those leaks coming from? Where is the mold? Because we must be able to root out the mold. If ever there's a mold, we can't have a person that cannot be trusted with the government information, selling this information somewhere else. It cannot be correct. But the other issue, it's in relation to saying you are leasing chairs. It really troubles me. Why do you have to lease chairs? I can't understand, because my understanding is that you must have your own particular resources so that at least you can be able to operate effectively, because leasing normally becomes a lot of more expensive, as you just said. But the other issue is in relation to your finances. In your slide, your first slide that speaks of the financial charts, there's receive from the National Treasury budget slides. Yeah, that slide, that 44 billion on 2020. 44 billion. In the treasury slides, the treasury projection, it says 47 billion. And in yourself, it says 44. We're trying to check why these contradictions. There's no balance. Why is this? Why are you having 44 and treasury having 47? But also, in the next slides again, in the treasury voting budget, yourselves are having 291 billion projection there, but in the treasury they have it's 343 billion. So there are contradictions in terms of these numbers. Trying to understand why these inconsistencies, because we've got an understanding that you also liaise and engage properly with your treasurer in making sure that there's proper engagement. Why those contradictory engagement? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Let me also echo the sentiments of appreciating the full complement of the board being present in this meeting. And I think we can just commend you and ask you to keep up the good work and don't drop the standard. I think you've set yourself a high standard and we really appreciate it. Chair, I just want to... We appreciate that they have achieved 91% last financial year. But, Chair, I think we must emphasize the fact that there is room for improvement, because entities should be striving to achieve all the targets and even overachieve. Because that is what is expected if you are doing a good job for providing the service to our people. And also, Chair, what I'm also commending with RAF is that it seems as if there has been teamwork, a very good teamwork between management and the board, and everyone is taking ownership of what is being presented, which I think is the way to go when we are engaging this kind of exercise, rather than management doing its own thing and then the board is also disowning what is being done, so working in silos. So we really appreciate the teamwork and the team spirit that is prevailing at RAF. Chair, I just want to check, are there enough resources allocated to the KPIs and the targets that have been set? You've talked, CEO, about the financial in the challenges, financial sustainability. Now, because if you are going to be performing, there must be budget allocation that is attached to every target that is put in place. Otherwise, then you are setting yourselves for failure if that has not been taken care of. So I just want to get that assurance
but also to get an assurance in terms of your human resources. Is there a funny, what is it, staff stability in the organization? Because it's your organogram, okay, people are correctly placed, there's no duplication of work, there's no bloated staff, you know, people that are redundant, and people who cannot. So it's your whole staff structure, a good machinery to actually make you to be able to achieve this. And what is the relationship between yourselves and the unions? Because that got also a potential of stabilizing or destabilizing entities. And then as a result, you find that you are unable to achieve what you want to achieve. So I just want to get that assurance. It's the board and management, both of them, really going to assure us that they are going to meet this target this financial year, taking into account that last year you had a challenge with the three targets. And I want my colleague has covered that one in terms of why you did not meet them and what are the plans for you to avoid that. But I just want to check, were the reasons beyond your control, or it was reasons within your control, but somehow maybe there was an oversight on a particular area, then you did not achieve those targets? Because I think you are doing very well. There is room for improvement. I hope that this year you will approve 100% and even achieve beyond that. Lastly, Chair, what is the basis on which you pay your bonuses? And last year, you achieved 91%. Did you pay bonuses? Or 2016-17? Okay. But what is the basis of paying the bonuses? It's you pay them when people have achieved 100%, or you pay them if people have achieved 110%. So I just want to know what is the formula that we are using. Thanks very much, Chair.
Honorable Sibande.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also to the presenters, thank you very much. But nevertheless, we'll go to questions. RAF has been insolvent since 1981 due to its funding and expenditure, which is not linked. But turnaround strategy has made a remarkable transformation in the RAF. Therefore, here start my question. What is payable by RAF exceed what is available to pay due to negatives and serious resistance to change? I'll put an example. Do you still remember we had a challenge of doctors and lawyers, and what is the status quo at the moment? Because they had a negative impact in that regard. And then also, I wanted to find out this. On the 21st February, during the budget speech of the president, he requested that the Director General of the National Treasury to issue a directive to all government departments and public institutions instructing them to pay suppliers on time. You see, there's my concern. Or be charged with the financial misconduct. Is it RAF complying? Because I know that you're having a challenge of shortage of your resources. Are you complying to that call? And then also, what is worrying me, not worried and such, but also to give you a platform to maybe clarify us as well. In your annual performance plan 2018-2019, you raised the issue of number one, that the RAF operates in an environment that is targeted by internal and external fraudsters or special syndicate. So, are you able to cap that situation? Have you improved in that regard? Because true, if you recall very well, a few days ago, we had a lot of people who have been charged. And I'll be happy if you can maybe take us on board about the financial implication, that how many people have been charged, so that we can assess ourselves whether are we achieving the goal or not. And then also about the service delivery, the RAF has a lot of outstanding claims for processing and is unable to pay claims. The rate received them as a result of legislative requirement. You see what I'm requesting, that one. I know very well that we had a challenge whereby you were proposing RAF's bill and etc. But exactly what is there, what is left, so that we can be able to empower you in terms of, so that you can be on par with the challenges which you are having. And then also about the issue of the stakeholder pressure, the persistent cash constraint and the resistance to accept the RAF's bill as a result of pressure on the organization. You see, with this one, I'm worried that exactly, we must know exactly where is it leaking, where is the problem. If you talk about stakeholder, which ones are resisting? For an example, from the side of the government is able to put more fuel levies in order to try to reduce your challenges. But from outside, which are the other people culprit who are giving us problems? Because your problem is not your problem, it's our problem. And because it's the problem of the society, because we are representing the society. And then the other one, like that one of the IT, the ITC, which is a five-year plan. The other thing which I've missed is that from when to when, if it's 5 years, because you can say it's 5 years. Every time when we meet, you tell us about 5 years, 5 years. It must have a deadline from when to when. I'll put it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sivan. Honorable Seko.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Chair, I join my colleagues in welcoming the presentation from the team. But let me start by checking whether I got the presenter correct when she said they are doubting that the RAPs will be coming, because as a committee we thought we would be dealing with it this quarter. But when she was presenting, she had the doubt that it will be coming. So I want to come out of this meeting sure that I have heard her correctly. Chair, I wanted also to add something on the issue of leaks. What may be the intention? What damage does those leaks cause to the organization and its operations? I also have a question around the service offices. How do they monitor their service offices? Because there's less work happening at head office. Much is done at the service center where services to the people are. I've seen that they are to monitor, they are to improve on the call centers and whatever, which I think the call centers are at their level of the head office, but their services there. How are they monitoring those services there? I'm also interested in checking their role in, we may term it, how they play their social responsibility, such that they are not only processing claims, they are also there to make sure that there are less incidents, because they will forever have these shortfalls of these big amounts if they are not assisting in playing that role of avoiding the incidents. On the 8 billion shortfall, Chair, I just want to check how it affects the next financial year's operations like this one. If you have an 8 billion shortfall, does that mean out of the 42, you still have to minus. It means it will have a bearing on your next operations because there will always be claims. It does not sit with me well that you are doubting now the RAPS bill. Just take us into confidence about that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Seko. Honorable Humshinda.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I would like to draw your attention to slide number 6. If you could just enlighten and explain the claims registered to 271,933. I don't understand that phrasing. Does it mean that it was registered up to? I don't understand the two part of claims registered to. Then if I compare that to the next bullet point, which you have presented here as number of claims settled as 234,701, does that mean that there was only a shortfall of 37,232 for this year? Is that what you're trying to tell us there? I also don't understand the third bullet point where you use the phrasing number of open claims, 207,461 in comparison to the above. So could you please tell us, you know, whether there is a spelling mistake or two, or what you are trying to tell us in the comparison, because certainly there's a very specific ratio intended to convey as a message to us. Then if we could move to your strategic plan and strategic objectives. I do notice that you are still making use of percentages as percentage goals, which is convenient because you can always score great on a percentage, even if the number changes. But we are trying to achieve a better standard here. So again, I'm appealing to the board to influence the officials not to make use of percentage targets, but make use of numbers, because we are dealing with a moving target. You can never estimate the number of claims that you will get. So to say that you would want to improve with 10% is very relative. It's better than to cut it across numbers and say we want to reduce the amount with a number instead of the percentage. And this is a practice which you are applying right through all your strategic objectives. So I am questioning the measurability of this, which is one of the important SMART principles, in advance. Even if I look at efficient claims processing, improved direct claims management, an increase by 20%, it's relative. Rather make use of numbers, just as a suggestion, because to us, to evaluate this would be very difficult, because you will always succeed, because you simply have to achieve the percentage in order to achieve, but yet you might not have improved the situation. I'm sure you understand. My next query is on page number 8, slide number 8, where you make mention in the second bullet point that you have 5 regional processing centers. Now, I'm also aware that over and above the 5 processing centers, that you also outsource claims to MedScheme and to Forbes. I can also recall that around 2014-15, there was a 25% increase in staff in just 1.5, more or less, I would say, to be fair, 2 financial years, and there was this expectation that surely you would be in a position then through training and support to gain competency in handling these claims all by yourself. So direct question, why is it still necessary to make use of MedScheme, and are you still making use of Forbes? Why is it still necessary? Why are you outsourcing claims, yet you justified a huge increase in staff component in 2014-15 with something like 25% increase in staff? So has the support and training been efficient or not, and why are we still seeing MedScheme? So staying with MedScheme, where is MedScheme and any other outsourcing of claims, where is that reflected in the financials? We don't see it anywhere. So what are you paying out for outsourcing whilst you bring us under the impression that you are doing very well, you know, and why isn't it part of the financials? So whereas there's all sorts of talks about leaks and stuff, you know, there's also elements and stuff which is not reflected here, which certainly isn't fair upon us in terms of what we need to know in our oversight role. So where is the outsourcing and any other outsourcing, where is this reflected in your financials? And then secondly, how far is this investigation with MedScheme and what is the progress on that? My next question is on slide number 11 or page 11, where you talk about financial sustainability under the heading of challenges, which we can surely appreciate since you are really doing, trying to cope with a lot of challenges, financial in particular, apart from management challenges, but you offer financial sustainability and then three different bullet points. All three of those bullet points address external issues under the heading financial sustainability. Surely there are internal issues as well and internal aspects which also would be listed or could be listed under financial sustainability. And in light of that, I would also like to know what specific engagements with stakeholders have you undertaken. Because surely I do support your sentiment that RAPS is not the only solution. It is definitely a solution, but it's definitely also not the only solution. So in looking for alternatives and definitely in trying to get the financial sustainability part working, which is very, very important and necessary, what stakeholder engagements have you encountered on? We have a lot of specialist fields that are players in this field, and I'm also aware of certain proposals by the Law Society that was delivered to you, and there are also medical professionals that rendered input from time to time. So where are we in this search for a new solution in terms of a future dispensation other than or in addition to what we currently have in terms of an improved situation? And then just one financial question, what is the current legal bill at this point? If you could give us that number, if you might have it with you. I know it's a bit unfair to be direct. Thank you, Uche.
Thank you very much, Honorable Humsinda. Dr. Bengu?
Honorable, just
the last
be specific
one.
Specific about the last one. What bill are we referring to?
I wish it was a solution bill, but it's the legal bill that I'm inquiring. The current legal bill. What's the legal expense currently?
Honorable De Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. There's a few questions from my side. Honorable Hunsinger has covered.
If you can put your mic closer to you, it's not very audible.
Some of the questions have been covered by Honorable Hunsinger. I want to refer again, so I won't repeat those. But I do want to just ask on page 6 in the presentation. It talks about these high number of claims. So first of all, I want to understand what the definition is, because it says here, claims registered 2. That 2 also confuses me, so that could be unpacked. And then I'm presuming if I take out the word 2, and there are, then I would say they're registered claims, if that is the case. So if that is the case, that's fine. It's bad English then. Someone must correct it. But then I want to just, the next sentence is number of claims settled. So what is the average payment? What does the average claimant get? Based on these numbers. It's all very well and fine, but if the person's getting 25 Rand, and that qualifies as a claim, then, you know, it's not, it defeats the point of what the RAF is all about. So I'd like to get that unpacked, and if you don't have specific figures, I would appreciate that in writing after this meeting, because I know these are statistical information. I've got similar questions to what Honorable Hunsinger is, so I'm just trying to go through my notes. Then You talk about the high, you know, number of court orders where your furniture gets taken and all that kind of thing. And looking at my information, I see that that's happening more and more frequently, particularly since 2013, 2014. So something's wrong. So the RF isn't improving, it's getting worse, because more and more litigation is taking place. There's something very wrong. So the board and the officials here from RAF are trying to paint a very rosy picture, but by their own information they're providing, confirms there's something drastically wrong. So I want to understand how is that the case. If you look at the statistics from those previous years, it's getting worse and worse. And I can provide that if you have it. I'm sure you have it. Then on your, just to get to your other page, and that is page 16, I think it is. And that is, right, so you talk about your, sorry, this is financials in general. So your deficit of about 200 billion, and so again, there's something wrong. These are all the markers that are coming up. So I keep on hearing how wonderful and well the RAF is doing, but it seems to be getting worse. 17. Because the numbers are getting worse. I would like to understand, I see the replies to some questions I asked about a year ago through the parliamentary system, that the executives and the top wigs of the RAF continue to get exorbitant bonuses and exorbitant increases. And yet it's got a 200 billion rand deficit. Nowhere in the world do I know of a company that's doing so badly and getting these exorbitant increases. So there's something that doesn't smell right, and then that speaks to why there are leaks. Because I'm smelling a rat here. There's something very, very splintering going on here that within the board, and why so eager to keep things secret if everything is above board and clean. And then in the actual report itself, just want to get to the right page. I beg your pardon, Chair. On your page 12 of your actual report, it talks about Risk 7, people management. RAF is a labor-intensive service organization, blah, 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 blah. I don't know why. In replies to questions that I asked in 2014, the replies came back and confirmed that the RAF had appointed in one shot, one financial year, over 400 people. So this should, in my mind, this is supposed to make the organization more efficient, more productive. Get the deficit down. Get claims going through faster. All it's done the opposite. By the way, those replies I can give you in black and white, I got directly from the RAF. So over 400 people were appointed to this organization. And this organization has never been as worse as it has been. So that's the first thing. I'm saying, in this, on your page 17, why is everything so labor intensive? There are numerous examples worldwide of similar organizations where the initial portal can happen on a computer, and not the only way of doing it, but can considerably reduce your administration if people go and apply online, and then there are follow-up checks afterwards. This is not, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's done, and systems have proven work. So I understand why is this, this gets put down here as a matter of fact. It's not a matter of fact. Why should it be labor intensive? I'm getting the sense that the RAF is becoming more of an employment agency based on my replies then, given to me a few years back. Then on your same report of page 15, I presume you have it in front of you, you talk about the RABs. My colleague has covered that it appears to, based on your report, that the RABs is the only solution. So I want to ask directly, what research is done to look at all other possible solutions? Because I have all my questions I've asked, the replies have come back and says RABs is the solution. How did you get to that point that this is the only solution? Because again, I can produce worldwide lots of examples of better solutions that are more efficient, more effective, pay out quicker, and benefit the beneficiary a lot faster and more effectively. So I'd like to understand why RABs. The other point to that question is, it's written here as if it's a fait accompli. It's still going to come to this committee. I don't like the name that it's called a scheme. It sounds very shady and behind closed doors. That alone is already suspicious. So here you are, you have marketing material, you're doing a roadshow and all that, as if this has happened, undermining this organization, namely Parliament. So I'd like some comments on that. Then on your next page 17, you talk about claims, 561 paragraph says claims requested but not paid. The second sentence says claim creditors are projected to grow to 9.2 billion by the end of the current financial year. Again, put down as a fact. So if this is a fact, let me presume that it is, well, what's RAF doing about it? It kind of just seems to be like this dead horse that's just lying here and accepting all these things, but not reacting and doing something to make this organization better. Also, it doesn't speak to all these 400-odd people additional. By the way, RAF is now five times staff-wise than what it was in 2010. It doesn't speak to efficiency. It doesn't speak to improvement. It keeps on saying we're getting worse and worse and worse. We want more money from government. I don't see the improvement. Then number 18, page 18, I beg your pardon. Trying to find that. On the same document. It says here, bearing in mind that, as I said, in 1 year alone, 436 people appointed in one go by this organization, under B in this page called claims expenditure, second sentence, once the 153 vacancies are filled. So you, unbelievably, this organization still has 153 vacancies that need to be filled, even though it is as bloated as it's ever been in its history of its existence, going way back to apartheid days. It's telling us in this report that there are still 153 vacancies still need to be filled. It doesn't talk to efficiency. It talks to a bloated bureaucracy that it's like an old sluggish horse getting fatter and fatter and not able to run. And then I've got one last question, Chair. Thanks for your indulgence. On page 25 of this report, if I could just find it. And that is, on this page, it's got your strategic objectives, number 18, improve procurement outcomes. I want to understand why such a high number, in fact, is the highest of all entities under transport, even worse than PRASA, that's telling you something, why this organization has such a high number of things that should be going through a tender process, but isn't. And gives all sorts of reasons, legitimate as they appear to be, that they do not require to go through a tender process and therefore have to be circumvented. Again, I'm smelling a rat. Why is this the case? So I'd like to unpack it a little bit more. And please, I know the facts, so I hope nobody's going to deny that that's not happening, that it's happening. It is happening. Thank you, Chair.
That was a firebrand, the last of the members we have spoken. Spitting fire. Thank you very much, Honorable De Freitas. I think that there are several deficiencies that have been indicated to yourself. One that we would really appreciate if you can be able to talk to numbers instead of percentages. 10% of what? Kind of a thing, you are able to clearly say to us this is the number which actually is equivalent to 10%. That will, you are working with us who are laypersons, and therefore it becomes very exciting if you say 200,000, which is equivalent to 10%, then we are able to contextualize, and then you can be able to do statistical calculations of around that. One of the observations I have made is that your figures are different to that of the National Treasury, I can be able to look into those figures and indicate to you, was it because maybe you there has not been a tally between yourself and the National Treasury? If there has not been that, because I think in one of the, let me quickly go to that. Let me just quickly say, your page 17, the total net deficit,
We're talking of 291, whereas Treasury is talking about 343. So there are those discrepancies that needs to be corrected. And I'm just giving this one as an example that you need to correct those statistical figures so that it can it works on well, because it can't be the right hand saying this and the left hand doing this in a way. I think the one other, maybe just one pager, which should be an add-on, particularly for the finances, is to indicate outsourcing. The amount of money that has been outsourced, who are the people who have received, so that it can be able to tally, because it looks like somewhere this is one of the missing links that we are having. If we are outsourcing to Parliament or to whoever, let's just have that as part of the indications and the indicators in your financial statistics and financial indicators. I want to indulge the board and request the board that, you know, as members of Parliament, we always do oversight, sometimes unannounced, and then you see it, you ask questions and you speak to the people on the ground. Part of the things that one is picking up is the people who are dealing with statistics are able to access statistics directly from the hospitals and start capturing those stats, which actually it says what is the what is the procedure that you should follow as operationally when you access the statistics. Is there no it goes to point B, that this is what is happening in Mangweng or Polokwane Hospital, and then point B is able to process that based on what the findings are, and then it gets captured, then you process those things. But if those who are capturing directly access those statistics, it means therefore there is kind of I can't even know how to put that, but I'm very worried that operationally, as you are looking into that, to me this becomes some of the fraudulent activities which are happening, and therefore it needs to be looked into, because there is some way falsification of statistics, and therefore that's why I'm saying I want to engage the board, do forensic analysis of the statistics and how things are being captured, and come and report back to Parliament as to what exactly have you, what are the findings in this regard, because you cannot have those anomalies. Some people may have been captured 5 times or 20 times. That is a possibility which will be happening. And like you have clearly indicated, you're dealing with the fraudsters and the corruptors of the corruptees and all those things. Terminology, you can put however terminology, because this is what you look at RAF, an indication that there is a lot of money which is exchanging hands, and therefore you need to tighten your operations. You also need to tighten procedural issues, how procedures are being made in this regard. So therefore, to me, it becomes very important. Go back as a board, do the investigations, particularly with how stats are being manufactured. Because I can tell you from where I'm seated that probably there is, whether it's cooking, whether it's whatever of statistics, and I know that for a fact that your your second quarter and your third quarter. You were very, very below. And I don't know now, because we know that at the end of the financial year, it's just that so that you can be able to get a bonus kind of a performance. You'll be able to show at 1 minute you're less than 30%, then the next thing in 3 months you're at 100%, which tells you that there are fraudulent activities which are going on, which tells you that you may be paying ghosts. You may be paying ghosts, and therefore that is why I'm saying to the board, go and sit down and be able to look into, is this a true reflection of what is happening? And I would want to lastly say, I'm quite elated of how you think you would be doing things, I have to say. And we're looking forward to holding you accountable on to what you have given to us as Parliament. But what becomes very important, you can rather have two targets, which are smart, which are measurable, which will be realizable, and within a particular time frame. The SMART principle, not to have 30 or 50 targets, which actually, you know, kind of a situation, have very good targets, which at the end of it all, you will be able to say, this is what we have been tempted, we have tempted ourselves to do, but and this is what we're going to achieve. But I think the other thing, Dr. Bailey and the acting CEO, Majerov, you need to engage more on, there are institutions in the country that can be able to assist you in research and development, and then you are able to grow this institution. You are able to know that, I'm just thinking out loud, that Human Science Research Council is one of those which actually I always go into their webpage and look as to what is happening. Go and give them information on the issues that they should be able to research for you, because the more we are happy to say people are being paid, the more the debt grows bigger and bigger and bigger, instead of it shrinking because you're paying so many people. What are the things, what are the tenants that can be able to build RAF in such a way that you start to reduce the liabilities as it is? Because obviously, even those that comes CFO, take your furniture, they are angered by the fact that it looks like you are not doing anything. What is it that, how can you collaborate with these people? How can you work closely to the doctors, the lawyers, and everybody who's a stakeholder in RAF to just make sure that they understand the precarious situation that you're finding yourself in, so that they will appreciate, engage them. One thing is, communication is key. And if you don't communicate, you're working yourself just like that, it becomes very problematic for us to know. And therefore, that is why you will always find that there is negativity which is coming out all the time and all the time. And I really need to say that when you've got insider traders of and insider peddlers of information, it depends on what kind of information they would want to peddle out there, what are the objectives that they are looking at, and the reason why they will be peddling the type of information that they will be peddling. And therefore, when you communicate, even those insider peddlers, when they go out and talk, you would have, people will be having an understanding, and people will be able to judge RAF for who and for what it is, because they know that, but the institution have said this is what is happening, and therefore our belief is that even if we have this type of information, then they are able to weigh the information that has been is out there. Whereas if it's just one-sided information, it holds, and perceptions can hold and hold dearly to most of us minds. Dr. Bengu, through you, we will request that the questions as asked by members be responded to.
Thank you, Chair. I think how we'll take it, we'll start at the beginning with Honorable Member Hatebe. And many of these are actually quite at executive level, but there are also a few that are board level questions. So I will ask that the CEO starts addressing the three KPIs that were not met.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. Thank you for the inputs. I also take note of the request that some of these inputs must be done in writing. We will do that and we'll submit as soon as possible. So let me go through the questions, and the CFO and the head of strategy will also come in. The three targets that we have not met, the honorable member is not here, but I will give the response. We saw a tremendous increase in registrations of claims, and I'm not sure, and I don't want to speculate, Chair, whether it's because there's a realization that the current system is not sustainable and it's going to change, but we have seen a tremendous increase. So one of the targets we have not met is around the turnaround of claims, verification, and it's around the verification of claims, if I may put it that way. Then the two that we have not met are around the transformation and ICT area. You remember the committee only advised us as an entity to remove the APP target that referred to RAPS around June. And then there was a toing and froing between us, Parliament, the Minister, where we then came up with a new target. I think the new target was only confirmed by Parliament and the Minister around October. So the two other targets are around that transformation and ECM. There was also a question around... I think I also want to add that the increase in registration could also be because of the fact that we are more visible now. We are more visible in the most remote areas of South Africa, which was not there in the past. So that could be one of the reasons. Then there was a question around why we lease furniture. We find that our experience is that when we buy furniture, when we buy cars, when we buy whatever we buy, the sheriff comes and takes our assets. So that is the rationale. But there is a discussion that is going to take place at the next board meeting around the same issue. Whether we want to continue the benefits of leasing as against buying. But the reality is that if we buy, the sheriff comes back and takes the furniture and they go and auction it. So whether it's furniture, cars, or whatever it is. So that's that. I'm just going to try and answer all the questions, but I didn't do them in the specific order, if the members don't mind.
Are they still Honorable Hatebe's questions? Because I want to add to some of what you've answered now.
Okay, that's so what I'm saying.
You move from the leasing.
There's one on the projections. Can I address that?
Sure.
Thanks. The one question from Honorable Khadebe on the difference between the National Treasury and RAF projections. We do two submissions to National Treasury. The latest one would have been done in January. That was before the 30-cent increase in February. This presentation is based on the 30-cent increase. I assume that Treasury hasn't taken that into account, but that's just speculation because all our figures go to National Treasury. This has gone to National Treasury as well. So I'm assuming the 30-cent increase, which we have put in this in a presentation to you, possibly could reduce that 343 to 291, which we see in terms of the deficit, but I'm not sure. As I said, this is the information that has gone to Treasury as well, before the 30 cents.
Thank you. I'm sure that question answers another member's question related to this. Regarding leasing, I want to just give a bit of background, having been on the board for three terms now. This is my third term. On leases, I mean, this was a method that was considered by the board in the previous years, and it seems to have worked. I'll ask colleagues to just add on the experience at Menlyn in particular, where especially the issue of owning cars or leasing them and a lot of the electronics. When this matter came up again, I must say that we have a board meeting that's still going to discuss this, so it's, in a way, it's premature. But one of the questions that I asked the executives when this was first presented was that I obviously understand the context why we went there and it seems to have worked, but the question is whether the model works for furniture. I'm not asking them to answer now, but it's a question that they'll have to respond to, given that, of course, at the end of the period, you may have to return furniture that you leased when actually you could have gotten 7 or 8 years out of 5-year furniture, for example. So all of those things, but I don't want to preempt the discussion. It's going to sort of be handled. But I want to link this with the problem of the leaks, because again, Honorable Khatib was the first to raise this. Now, as board directors, we understand very clearly that we work for a public entity, and in that regard, all that we do is ultimately discoverable. But there is a limit to what is reasonable. Board members here as well, honorable members here, do expect that as matters are getting discussed, at least until there is a decision, until it's reporting time, they're all quite right to expect a degree of confidentiality. We are talking here about leases that have got, it's no exaggeration, that in a committee meeting that took place on Monday, there are questions from the Mail and Guardian that arrived yesterday, which means other than the four directors were in that committee, the rest of the board will first learn of the discussions coming from Mail and Guardian. Last week we had a meeting with the minister, and this is one of the issues that was raised. Since then, there was an article in Times Media, there was a question with Mail and Guardian, and there were new questions coming out of Monday in the Mail and Guardian. Now, colleagues, honorable members, you yourselves know this isn't right. And it's not just whistleblower. If there is evidence of malice is everywhere in how these are leaked. It's about a constant attack on the integrity of people, which is clearly not warranted. One of the articles that you will see on Friday refers to the CEO and her qualifications. Now, this is an issue that we have answered so many times, and it just pains me when we find that someone is attacked on the basis that at the prime of their careers they chose to leave the country to pursue whatever political ideals they have, and today we are holding that against them. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should just accept, and the board has been very circumspect in saying, let us have those qualifications verified by SAQA, and then we show we have equivalence, and that passes. But still, it's not acceptable to some of the people. It's just not fair. But what are the costs to these leagues? The costs are that there's so much more productivity. At executive level, we are having to resubmit and re-explain our transactions to the Auditor General, and the board and the company pays $350,000 more for that. We have to go to the National Treasury and go and get information that dates back 17 years. All of this has got a cost in terms of productivity. At board level, it's a question where we hold interviews, and people who are coming for interviews, we cannot guarantee that what they tell us in terms of who they are will stay out of the media, because experience shows that it doesn't. I can't assure my fellow colleagues as directors that what they say about candidates, about everything else, will stay within the board. It's unbelievable, it's unfair. And the more direct example of the leases, as I said, the board hasn't considered the matter. We will at the end of this week. Already, the value of the tender has been published, because those who put up applications have been called and asked, and the issue of the strategy of going lease, it's now public. And you can be sure it will change how our creditors deal with us now, because it's no longer internal, it's unfair. And it's not as if these are issues that have not been reported. What have we done? The board has ordered a report where all board members and members of the Office of the Company Secretary submit their iPads. There's one member who refused to submit his. We have reported to the minister many times, and I'm pleased to say that Minister Zimande seemed to be taking this seriously. And on the issue of questions that were raised by Honorable Mbanza, I assume Honorable Khadebe, we've covered you, and some of them have come up. Now, on the other question about assurance in terms of the HR strategy, the staff stability, certainly we're starting to see movement at executive level, and it's not unrelated with the pressure that comes with people feeling they're investigated unfairly, the negative articles again that come up, and we see in how there has been a shift in who responds to our adverts now. It was in this parliament, Chair, about 3 years ago that I said the pride in the Rotterdam Fund is visible in some manner is the quality of applicants that respond from the private sector wanting to join the Rotterdam Fund. We're seeing the reverse now. And it has got to do with the negative media. The issue of bonuses, I'll just touch on that. There's a long history, of course, but we work in a country where the Labor Relations Act and the history in terms of packages cannot be discounted as to where we've been. We can only account on how well we manage the year-on-year increases, and by and large, certainly for the top tier, we stay within the CPI. Now, on the issue of bonuses, I still believe that we have a structure that is in line with performance incentives for executives. We can argue whether it's high or low, that's one thing, but again, there is history. Let me give you an example regarding the CEO package. My colleagues know that every year I'm always going to sweat on this one. But it is no exaggeration when I say in 2010 when I joined this board, the CEO was on a certain package. But as much as there was criticism in terms of Dr. Watson's package, the reality is that when he left the Road Accident Fund,
is still earned 4 million less than the CEO who was there 5 years before him. And that, why did we get there? Because when he came in, we matched what he had. We could only match what he had received from the company where he was before. It's there. It was standard. And even now, as we are moving towards the new chief executive, our recommendation to the minister as well does bring the package down. So there is no question that where the board is directly involved, you do see that there is link between performance and actually we are in line regarding what the Labor Relations Act can allow, because we can't really reverse and offer packages where people earn less than they did last year. But the main point is that if you do not achieve the targets, they are not going to get those bonuses. And I was there the first time when we refused to pay, simply because the members, sorry, staff had gotten used to getting paid for 53% of targets met, and we just did not pay. And we will not hesitate to go back there when they do not as well again. For now, I think I've tried to touch on some of which I think are board issues, but Honorable Mpanza, relationships with unions, do we want to take that?
Okay. Dr. Bengu,
yes.
we are running out of time. I was going to request that you answer questions. Whatever is remaining will go to the next person. Whatever is remaining will go to the next person.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's all about those questions then.
All right. I'll answer the questions that I think have not been answered in no particular order. Med Scheme and EMY. It's not Forbes, Honorable Member. It's Ernest & Young and Med Scheme. We had a pilot with these two companies. It was a three-year project. We have wound it down. We have received all our files back. The idea was to learn lessons from the private sector. We learned, but the success of the project was not as high as we thought. The service providers returned more than 54% of the files that we gave them. And they cited reasons as the fact that attorneys can drag the process as long as possible, postpone, and it was just not worth their while as the private sector. So, and they gave specific reasons. Can I indulge you that we get information, or let's get
in
a report. In a report
form
which comes to Parliament, so that we're able to go through that. Okay.
Chair, if you would mind, just to add to what the CEO said. So this project ended in January 2017, hence it hasn't been in this financials as Honorable Hunziker has asked. In terms of the cost for this project, just to give some background, we looked at the cost of processing a claim internally, looking at our staff costs. And on average, it cost us about 60,000 Rand per claim from start to end. When we put this out on tender, the cost that we were paying for the claim was about 38 to 43,000 Rand, depending on whether it's a direct claim or a litigated claim. The service provider was not paid the money until the claimant had accepted that claim and the claim was finalized. So those 54% for which they had taken and returned, they were not paid for that. They were only paid for the ones which they finalized, which was at a lower cost than we would have had to do. We also had a backlog of 540,000 claims at 2012-2013 financial year. As a result of that, that's the reason that we had introduced this project, to help with the backlog. So it wasn't for the purposes of processing current claims, but only old outstanding claims. And as CEO said, we had found that there were some successes, but on the majority it wasn't as successful as we thought, and hence that has ended and we haven't looked at it again in terms of that.
Okay, but we will submit a report on that. Then I think there's a bit of confusion about RAPS. When I said RAPS might not be the only solution. That's the guidance we were given by this committee. When this committee said remove from your APP anything that refers to RAPS until the bill is passed. So that was the context of my statement. And I also want to remind the committee that we as the RAF don't drive RAPS. RAPS is driven by the Department of Transport. Right? So that's the one. And then there was a question around the service centers. How do we monitor them and who do they report to? They report to the COO and their work is included in these reports. So when we say, for instance, where is that slide? There was a slide where there was a bit of confusion on the numbers. When we say so many claims processed, we include their work. This slide. When we say claims registered, we are referring to claims that have been registered for that particular year, for 2017-2018. You correct the English. I think the two should not have been there. Number of claims settled, we are referring to claims that were settled in 2017-18. Number of open claims, that is the closing balance as at the end of the performance year, as at the end of 2017-2018.
So that's that.
In terms of the members' questions regarding that, so as I mentioned, we had about 540,000 claims at 2012-2013 as the open claims at that financial year. Together with that 500,000, we receive on average, you'll see, we received 271,000 in the last financial year. In the previous years, we were receiving about 220,000 to 230,000 claims a year. So in addition to the 547, we had to deal with that plus the average claims for that year, which is about 200 and somewhat thousand. And you'll see that we have enough money to settle that 234,000 only. So as a result, that backlog has been reducing. So we have been more efficient. And as a result of that efficiency, that's why we have the financial situation that we have. Because if those claims are not finalized, then there's no financial implication. There are no attachments. And as a result, everything looks healthy and the financials look healthy. But the fact that efficiency has increased over the last 5 or 6 years, that's the reason why we are in this financial situation and we end up with the 200 somewhat billion in terms of our liability.
Okay, and then there was a question around fraud, whether we are doing anything about the fraud. In the 2017-18 performance year, 1.4 billion claims were repudiated before payment was done. These are fraudulent claims, and it will come out in our 2017-18 report, annual report. We also have had 11 convictions, and that will come out in our report as well. And then there was a question around our relationship with the union. We now have signed an agreement with NUMSA. You will remember, members, that the majority union in the past was SATAU. I think they've lost favor with employees, and NUMSA now is the main union that we have. Then there was an issue around what stakeholders, what challenges we have. Experts, honorable members, availability of experts is still a challenge for us. We have been talking to the HPCSA. We have been talking to SAMA, which is one of the associations that deal with the... Yes. But it is still a challenge. Then, in terms of stakeholder engagement, generally, we engage the medical fraternity, the legal fraternity, the transport entities, and the financial sector generally. What other question? Okay, the productivity and the fact that why is there an amount of over 8 billion requested but not paid? Why are there attachments? And it seems to point to inefficiencies and the deficit of 200 billion. The amount of 8 billion, these are claims that have been processed. but cannot be paid because we don't have sufficient funds. And that's where the attachments come from. We've paid, there are payments that are queuing for payment, but some of the attorneys or even whoever says that they can ask the sheriff to come and attach, they are not patient enough to come to wait for the queue. So that's where the attachments are coming from.
Just to add to that, in 2012-13, due to the whole inefficiencies within the staff complement at RAF, we had 6.5 billion rand worth of cash at the end of the financial year. As a result of the efficiencies and improvement in work, that cash was utilized, and then the cash that we receive on an annual basis is insufficient for the number of claims that we finalize in that financial year. Hence that growing creditors book, which is about 8.5 billion at the moment.
Okay, and then there was a question on the baseline. You take the guidance, but I want also to say the percentages, when you come up with the percentages, we also look at the numbers, because each year we always set a tighter target, but also taking into account our financial resources and our resources generally and the people. So there is a number. We are aware of the number. I think going forward, then we will put the percentage and the number. And at the beginning of the year, we base our percentage on the baseline as at the end of the previous year. So we don't just transact the percentages. But we take the guidance on that. I think I've covered most of the...
I think regarding the staff increase and the significant increase, there was a moratorium on staff prior to Dr. Watson joining in 2013-14, and there was a whole lot of instability and uncertainty regarding staff, etc. Subsequent to that, things have stabilized. We looked at processes, we looked at productivity and what needed to be done. Hence, there was a large increase in that financial year in terms of staff complement. That staff complement is currently around 2,800 staff, and that is the reason that we have seen the increases in the in our productivity. And it's an unfortunate conundrum that we find ourselves in that because of increased productivity, we do not have cash balances. More claimants are being served, more claimants are being paid, but unfortunately that book is growing in terms of money owing.
The last comment, because I can see, Chair, that you want to close now. The impact of the leakages on the organization, I think that's important for me to highlight to you. I know that the minister is dealing with it, but it impacts on the staff morale. It impacts, as the Chair has already said, on us attracting skills into the organization. It also impacts on the reputation of management and the board to the staff members and to the public at large. So it's an area that we would really like to be resolved. I'm sure the minister will attend to it.
Chair, sorry, there were two questions that still needed to be answered as well. In terms of the legal bill, for the 2017-18 financial year, we paid 10.1 billion rand to legal for attorneys and experts. In terms of the plaintiff attorneys, we paid 4.8 billion rand. That has increased from about 3.9 billion in the previous financial year. So that's the legal bill. In terms of the average cost per claim, which was asked by Honorable De Freitas, the average cost per claim is about 107,000 rand for this financial year that has just passed. It was 116,000 rand in the last financial year. What we've seen is that supplier claims, which is cost by hospitals, has reduced in this last financial year, hence the resultant average decrease to 107,000 rand.
Okay, I'm going to be closing, but before I close, let me recognize Mr. Tlabisa, Dr. Komal, Dr. Bengu. But we need to set time frames as to when you can bring the report. Is it doable that 72 working hours?
3 to 4 days. Can we have it by close of business next week, Friday? Okay. Mr. Khadisa, 1 minute.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and all members. I just want to say, on behalf of the department in particular, we are quite pleased the comments that has been raised by the portfolio committee, positive comments, in fact. However, I just wanted to ask Honorable Chairperson whether, from my side, from this side, I can ask if members can withdraw some other statements which were not that much in line with what we are discussing here. I don't know whether I'll be out of order if I say so.
No, Mr. Khadisa, if you feel that there's something that needs to be withdrawn, just indicate what should be withdrawn and then we will deal with it.
There was a comment from one of your honorable members that was referring to RAF as a sluggish horse that can't run. I really felt very uncomfortable with that. That is why, Honorable Chairperson, through you, I would like maybe that statement to be reviewed, if ever possible, to be withdrawn, because RAF is trying very hard under these kind of circumstances, and it will never be compared to a sluggish horse that cannot run. I just wanted to say that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Let me withdraw on behalf of the members. I can't remember who said that. We will hold you accountable. And one day, if we see that it looks like you're not dragging as anticipated, I withdraw and apologize. I can't remember who said that anyway. Is that you, Honorable Defaitas?
I said it. In fact, I think it's more of a sluggish elephant than a sluggish horse.
No.
I don't withdraw it.
No. Honorable Member, when we say this type of things, we really demoralize the people who are at the center of the storm. And we need to say, somewhere we need to say positivity, which will and infuse positivity so that these people can have the zeal to want to work. But if we talk those type of languages, I still withdraw what you said just now.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chief, I may be permitted, with your permission from the committee, to speak frankly, because I'd hate to be quoted back when we go back in a couple of hours to be saying I broke confidentiality, board discussions, those kind of things. Being a public entity, I presume, with your permission, I could just make a few brief comments that may of be assistance to the committee, Chair.
I didn't hear anybody saying there was somebody who broke confidentiality. As Dr. Bengu was talking, he was referring to what happens in the board, and he never mentioned who did what. And therefore, let's take it at that there are some board members who actually were not true to their calling, and they went out to go and speak. But we don't know as yet who did that, and we know that there is probably somebody who spoke about the things which happened internally within the board, and I would really plead with you not to talk to those things, because if you are going to be talking, the other doctor next to you will also want to talk, every board member will also want to talk, and we are not here investigating who said what in the board meeting. But we are, as is indicated, there is an indication which says, post the board meeting, there were questions which came from different newspapers, and let's take it at that, meaning that somebody from within board members has been able to leak the information of the board. And I would plead and urge board members, go and deal with this matter, because you are in this together. You are in this together until your term of office expires. And the objective is to serve the people of the Republic. You're not there serving yourself as members of the board. You have to serve the people of the Republic. And here we're talking about very critical issues.
of trauma and other loss of life, which actually be loss of income and other related emotional issues which are involved here. You are in this together. Go make sure that you all work together. There's a saying in one of the indigenous language which says, the cattle that belongs to one crawl, they will always fight amongst themselves, but they will never disengage belonging to that very crawl. Because in the end, when we're going to have a span of cattle to go and do the errands, it will be that span of cattle which actually is always when it's in the crawl fighting amongst each other, but they will have to do the objective that the master has set for them to do. Please, above your indulgence, probably because we can see that there are simmering issues, we will call you back as the portfolio committee so that we can be able to deal with the issues. We still have to find out as to why are you not appointing, has the minister Peters refused to appoint the CEO, has minister, former minister, erstwhile ministers, Masongani and Peters refused to appoint. We're looking forward that Minister Nzimande will be able to appoint the CEO. And to us, that is what is at the center. We indulge all of you so that you can be able to encourage those who are working underneath you to be able to deliver on the outcomes that are expected. I wanted to say that, Dr. Komal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, just to take in your guidance, I'll restrict my comments specifically to some of the questions that came in without trying to digress from those. I think one of the key things we have, Chair, is the entity is definitely looking at the question around procurement, sole source, deviations, and those kind of things. That is something the board is particularly looking into, especially sole source contracts that extended multiple times, offered to rentals in various cities where we repeatedly extend without market research, where there's always the risk of increased prices and values being linked to that. I think, Chair, there's also the issue of, in terms of bonuses, the question of bonuses, which I think my esteemed colleagues didn't go into exact detail, but there was a measure from one of the learned members of the committee that asked how that's actually targeted. I think it was the Honourable Harebe who asked, Chair. The true answer as a measure, but I have never seen the contract. I'm told it's in the contract, but I've never seen that the alleged contract that we say is in the Labour Relations Act. But we pay 30% bonuses to executives and 15% to lower staff, and we pay that when they achieve 90% of the APP. So as it stands at the moment, the measure is where it is, so the payments come at the point of where we exactly are right now is what we're paying bonuses for. So we measure, in other words, 90% of the day job is where we satisfy ourselves. In terms of true numbers, I think we were also vague, but this is public domain information from the previous financial year. I think the 16-17 financial year spoke of the CEO earning very short of the region of 5 million and a bonus of just short of 2 million rand. But this is from the last financial report that is given to this committee. So it puts context. I think the biggest thing, Chair, that the committee was asking, these percentages and variables need to be fixed numbers. So when you ask, is it blue or green, we need to tell you blue or green and not its possible color. I think the other thing, Chair, is there has been very good engagements with the unions. I think Satire has been very useful. I know LIMS has now the new committee in place. I think in terms of the pilot project, Chair, we need to try and measure the efficacy and look at the reality of when they asked about that project, Sienza, when the RAF had outsourced work. What is critical to that is, although it was a pilot, it cost just over 300 million rand, plus a further 30 million rand in terms of value spent. In terms of the pilot project, the measure for the outsourced company was to deliver in 120 days, and they were penalized if they didn't deliver up to 210 days, up to 20%. So it had a sliding scale. This is not my opinion. This is the documents that are public domain that were published before the tender was even awarded. I think what is critical is, although they may have not finished 50-odd percent, they finished 40-odd percent in 120 days. But our current APP measures claims beyond 3 years. So if you look at the comparison of what we expected a service provider to do, that's what we can do. I think the comparisons are drastically different. I think, Chair, the notes on the RAB's comments are very important. Of
what we have is a transformation plan. There's just a rebranding of the right strategy. That's literally a new name of exactly what it was in the first place. In terms of the buffer of attachments, Chair, I think we do need to apply our minds because there is a specific buffer internally that we make sure we have on hand to try and limit those risks. But it is, frankly, the unfairness of some firms who don't want to wait their turn, and the management is doing everything they can with the payment cycle to make sure claims are paid. So I think we need to commend them on working within the constraints that they have, but also realizing there may then come further questions of saying, what are other strategies? I think, Chair, in terms of comments that were made, I think the critical thing for me, Chair, is that I think the Chair of the Board had mentioned some of the questions around leaks and qualifications. The reality is other public entities found themselves in problems when there was a doctor in Tumkulu who didn't have a PhD, and he specs trains for the country, and if it became a huge scandal. Then we have the Honourable Mr. Jordan, who was also Dr. Jordan at some point. I don't think we should shy away in public functions from public scrutiny, because we function in the public space. We should be transparent with wherever we are. And just looking in terms of forensic analysis, Chair, I think there needs to be guidance from the committee on when we say, does the committee want the board to give you those detailed analyses? Because we struggle then with challenge of the committee asks us for feedback, but we have structural delegations of authority within the board, which says board members won't look at particular information, we'll get high level, and management will compile a lot of it, which does become a critical challenge when some people want further details so we can adequately interrogate. I think, Chair, we're very appreciative of the approach of SMART, which is the standard approach of strategy. The other thing, Chair, that we need guidance on, and maybe the committee will guide us on, is when you mention other state institutions like the HSRC and the others, we've had previous discussions, and these are all now in the past, so it cannot be questioned, is when we have guidelines from DPSA and other government entities, they make recommendations that we should use the other entities. And then when we come back and say, are we going to use them, for example, are we going to use CETA for ICT? Are we going to use SACRA for qualification verifications? Are we going to use particular entities in the state that are cost effective? We get told, you should use them, but we don't must. So we get a legal opinion saying, you're not obligated to, and then we go to third-party service providers, which then becomes a particular concern of what, as you say, insider training and peddling of information. And I think, Chair, the
last... Let's round up, Dr. Kumar.
Thank you, Chair.
We've got other institutions awaiting for us. But I think I need to say to you that it was very clear when the chairperson of the board spoke to say we will still go and investigate those qualifications which are being questioned. There is no doubt to that. And I think most of these issues, the board needs to sit down and say what are the key tenets of what we are anticipated to do. Dr. Bengu, you are the last, and I give you 5 minutes.
Probably more than I need, Chair, because, I think I probably would rather not respond to my colleague, because the first question I would have asked is whether he's raising these issues as a board member or as an industry player who assesses claimants.
No. Dr. Bengu, please withdraw. Because I have said, from the look of things, there is simmerings which are there, undercurrencies which are there, and I've said to you that as a portfolio committee, in view of the fact that we can see that you know there are simmerings which are taking place, we will still have to call you and find out as to what exactly makes this portfolio, this board, to have all these things which actually are simmering underneath. You know, forever hold your peace and withdraw, please.
I withdraw, Chair. I wanted, in rounding up, I wanted to just speak broadly, especially. Honourable Member de Freitas, to say I take his criticism. These questions seem to address the efficiency issues, and of course, a key to that, we also want the best key to that is the e-enablement plan, and we are watching how that's being rolled out. But also just to point out to Honourable de Freitas that to say there's been 5 times more increase in members now, in employees, is not true. That would mean there were 500 REF employees in in 2010, which is not true. And I think the one major point to note, Mr. De Freitas, again on efficiency, as I say, we take that to heart, is that all of the progress needs to be seen from the perspective that 5-6 years ago we had 400,000 claims in the system, and we're talking around 200,000 now. That speaks to the backlog, which obviously had an impact from excesses of 8 billion in bank to 8 billion that we short of. So I think, in closing, I just want to say two things, Chair. One, it would be remiss of us as a board if we do not flag the 200 billion rand liability. It is significant, and we are constantly knocking on doors, but it's quite clear that this is no longer a risk to the fund, it's a risk to the country, and there has to be a way of dealing with this. And one of the issues when we talk about what the research entities, what can we look at, we still are going to have our strategy, but surely we are mindful and we must raise the flag that if you have car companies that say in 2010 we will not be producing petrol-driven cars, we must be able to have a sufficiently long horizon view that we must know what that means for the country, because that's the fuel levy is what drives the road accident fund. So without anything more to add on behalf of the board, I thank Chair, I thank honorable members, and we do take your criticism seriously, and we will continue to do our best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Sibanye, I wanted to go to the next...
That's what I wanted to propose. Chairperson, I think in future, I wanted to appeal to the board that if maybe one is going to respond in the sequence, I think that is accepted, because the board member wanted to try to respond to all of us, because if it was enough time, I was going to argue that you never responded to the things which I've raised at all, 100%. But directive of the chairperson, I will accept that. And I said myself, I don't have any query. For an example, before I gave it to the chairperson, we didn't ask you the issue of the vacancies, because we know very well that there are challenges in terms of the vacancies, in terms of the CEO and the invitees, and also of the staff. We're fully aware. Don't touch bees, because they will sting you next time. Thank you, chairperson. Let's proceed.
Thank you very much. Let me release RAF members, and thank you very much for the insightful information that you have given us. We will be looking forward to you making just a few tweaks here and there and submitting to the portfolio committee. And I must just appreciate that the entire committee is here. I hope other SOCs will also do likewise. Thank you very much. Let's have RTMC.
Thank you. Thank you.